This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen. The sermon for this Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord, is according to St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. So here we have the Gospel reading. It's all so well known to us since our youth. The women going to the tomb. And we ask, why were they going to the tomb that morning? Were they going to greet their resurrected Lord and Savior? Did they want to be the first ones to welcome him back from the dead? Well, in my version, that's probably how it would have gone. But alas, they did not. You seek Jesus, the first ones, the crucified one. He's not here. He's risen, just like he told you. The angel's words leave no doubt. Those ladies were actually going out to the tomb in grief-stricken unbelief. I know that sounds crazy and harsh, but it's true. Christ told them multiple times over the course of 3 years exactly what he was going to do on the third day after dying, and yet they still went out to the tomb on that third day expecting to see someone who was dead. Decomposing. They were going out to anoint someone who was not alive. We can try to justify it any number of ways, and I have tried myself. But when you go down to it, they didn't believe what Jesus had told them. They had situational unbelief. They were believers. Nobody is questioning whether they were believers or not. They were, but their grief, their sorrow, and their worry had gotten the better of them. They had failed to remember and trust in the words and promises of their Lord and Savior. But nobody is ever too quick to go there, though, are we? We don't go there because we've been there too. We understand their situational unbelief. If you've been a Christian longer than 5 minutes, you've seen it yourself. You've experienced it. After all, they had been traumatized. Make no doubt about this. Their whole world had come crashing down less than 72 hours earlier. We've all been there before to one extent or another. Am I right? Perhaps even this year. Just the fear of not having a year's supply of toilet paper, what did that do to us? What did it do? It caused good Christian people to act like barbarians. I find myself wondering, what if your soul is demanded of you tonight? God doesn't care if your silos or your bunkers are stocked with rice and hand sanitizer and toilet paper. He doesn't work in that sort of currency. Look at what the fear of sickness and loss has done to our own morality, has done to our trust in the Lord's promise of his real presence with his people in such a short amount of time. As often as you do this, remember what I've said. This is my body. This is my blood. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Remember? Yeah, but germs. This is why we don't cast stones at those ladies. Why Saint Mary is not less in my eyes. We understand and perhaps even sometimes condone their situational unbelief. Our Lord doesn't condone it, though, does he? In fact, he sends his angel to these poor souls because, yes, he is not going to leave them in the dark, not to drop the hammer of wrath upon them, but to lovingly correct them, doesn't he? To refocus them on the joy that is already theirs in Christ and because of Christ. When the angel proclaimed that the crucified Christ is risen from the dead, he refocused the ladies, didn't he? On Christ and his word and his promises. He set their minds on Christ, didn't he? Remember what he said to you? This is resurrection fact. just like Jesus told you. They were focusing on a tomb. They were focusing on the big stone obstructing their access to a decaying person. They were focused on Christ's word, not his word and promise. Look here, he's not here, says the angel. Listen to what he is telling you now. Because I work for Jesus. This is what he wants you to do. Go to Galilee. Seek him in Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Again, all the focus is being put on what he meant. And what he meant, he said. For 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus made himself present and known right where he told them to seek him, right where he promised to be. What a glorious celebration we have, isn't it? It's glorious to see, look at messed up people in the Bible. They're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And we love them so dearly. They mess up and God sends a messenger going, thank God he does that, or all of us would be out wandering around and they're going, what's going on? What has this same resurrected Lord said to you? I ask this because it is easy to get focused on the wrong things, especially when things seem dark and our morale runs low and our faith gets so beat up and bruised as we know it has. It's been stretched and tested and pulled to the limits. If you have been raised with Christ, which we have been through the waters of holy baptism, into Christ's death and resurrection, as St. Paul teaches us himself, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are of the world. That's easier said than done, and I know that. Believe me, I know. That's nice in theory, Pastor. I've heard 1,100 times in the last 365 days. That's really nice in theory, but that's not really the real world, Pastor. And then they sigh and cluck their tongues and look at me like, poor special pastor. The pleasures and worries of this daily life have a real way of choking out and drowning out the words and promises given to us and how the church has received for 2,000 years. Even on a glorious day like today, we can be focused on the wrong things. And I'm not just talking about hand sanitizer, blah, blah, blah. There's other messed up stuff in the world that we focus on. I'm not going to beat up COVID all day because there's any other number of things that distract us. But what about the empty tomb? Like those saints of the scriptures, like those women that first Easter morning, we put all our focus on the tomb. So many Christians today are celebrating the fact that the tomb is empty and Jesus isn't there anymore. And the church has done this remarkably for a long time. Yes, I know that the tomb is empty. And praise God that it is. But if you remember, the focus wasn't on an empty tomb. Look here, he's not here. Have a nice day. No, that isn't our focus. The focus necessarily shifted from where Jesus wasn't to where Jesus is. That is our focus. That is our joy today. Not just the empty tomb and where he isn't, but more importantly, where he is, where he tells you to seek him in his and hold fast to him. We look at the cross. He isn't still on the cross. No, he is no longer there, but he still bears the marks of crucifixion on his body. St. Peter showed us that. He is the crucified one, and this is the good news of the highest order. There are the very wounds that he held out to a full room of terrified, self-quarantined disciples when he proclaimed, "Peace be with you." And just in case they didn't believe him the first time, he did it again, didn't he? Peace! Peace! Folks, it is this very same cruciform marks that your Lord ever and always presents to the Father on your behalf. Forever proclaiming and showing the proof of your redemption, the blood-bought proof that his word is true. Tetelestai, it is finished. Christ's peace, true peace, is known only in the wounds of the crucified Savior, who was once dead but now lives. Your Lord speaks this same cruciform resurrection peace to you today. He has baptized you into his cruciform resurrection of peace. Remember that word and promise? Do you not know that as all of us who have been baptized into his death and resurrection, this sacrament isn't just a show, but it is actively Jesus working for you, bringing you the Holy Spirit, giving you faith, putting your name in the book of life. His victory over sin and death and the grave is present tense, your victory over sin, death, and the grave. So look to the font. Look to the holy water. Focus your faith on the word promise that Christ has spoke to you, who has baptized you, putting his name on your head and on your heart. This means something. God doesn't do lip service. Like Job, though the world may crash down all around you, you are in Christ. And your victory is already won, already assured, just like he told you. Look to the altar. What has your risen and victorious Lord already told you? This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Remember what I have said, he said. Remember what I have told you. Here is the Lord of life, right where he promises to be, telling you right where you seek him and receive him. He doesn't practice this sort of social distancing from you, thanks be to God. He draws near to you, beginning even in the manger. Jesus draws near to you. Here is the resurrected Christ for you, for your forgiveness, for your confidence and assurance, and for your peace. Christ Lutheran Church, there's nothing new under the sun. God's word is still speaking to us in word and sacrament every single day. In the midst of trials and tribulations, just like it did with the women at the tomb. Did they do everything right? Was Jesus the one who sent someone to correct them? Yes. Just like they did for them. He is pointing you to the living and risen Christ who has promised you that he is really and truly present with us in his word, in his body, and in his blood, and as we say in our confessions, in the Mass. Why we're still being pointed there is because we still need the living and victorious Christ. It is so that we may share with him in the joy of the resurrection victory. His resurrection victory, your resurrection victory. God bless us that this good news of the highest order would bring you joy and peace. In good times and in bad times, better, worse, richer, poorer, sickness and in health, now and into all eternity. And as for proper focus, to him alone be all glory, praise, and honor. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our faith as found in the words of the 1700-year-old Nicene Creed. I believe in one God.